All right, onward Christian soldiers. Let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the book of 1 Corinthians, if you will. And before I forget it, I'm going to jot down Randy's sister, and we'll get a name. And Randy Cagwin, sister. And put question mark. We'll touch base with Randy and try to find out what's going on there. If you will. The book of 1 Corinthians tonight, last week we had the business meeting, and if you're here and you didn't get a packet, there are packets of those out in the foyer or Welcome Center somewhere out there. They had them available. And the week before that, I think Pastor Adam and Haley preached. So tonight we want to continue on with 1 Corinthians. We've been taking Sunday night services and looking into the book of 1 Corinthians, and tonight great chapter as we look at Paul as he writes this 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Chapter 15, I think, is one of the highlights of all the Bible. If I was to take a chapter and cut it out and focus on one chapter in the Bible that I thoroughly enjoyed, it would have to be 1 Corinthians 15 on the resurrection. And it is so applicable to what we do and what we live, and what a blessing it helps you and I to understand the resurrection, the gospel, the method of the resurrection. There's a lot of detail in 1 Corinthians 15, and so we've spent time taking a look at that. If you've not been able to be here for that, I'd encourage you to take some time in your devotions to read 1 Corinthians 15 on the resurrection. So Paul, as he comes to the end of this chapter, and you know there didn't used to be divisions in the Bible, but you got here 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, so we'll go on in to 2 Corinthians when we get done here in the weeks going forward. And so so it's interesting, as Paul gives us this, he kind of wraps up the first part of this in chapter 16 with three interesting thoughts. One is starts out with the collection for the saints. You got to keep in mind that Paul was a missionary, so he traveled from churches to church throughout Galatia, Asia Minor, and that. And so he addresses the collection and offerings and giving. And so it talks about giving in here and we'll take a look at that. Then he talks about encouraging them at the church at Corinth. He wrote this from Ephesus to stand fast in the faith, stand firm, be solid, don't waver. And, you know, when you think about it, how important that is, evidently that's been a problem in church work and Christianity since the very beginning of time, is sometimes people get saved in local churches, and for whatever reason, they waver, they don't remain faithful, and it becomes a real challenge. And we see it today in this generation. So Paul addresses that, talking about standing fast, standing firm, being faithful, and doing what you know is the right thing to do. And then he kind of gives highlights of some salutations of people that meant a lot to him at the end of the chapter. So let's look at verse 1 to 4 as it starts out here. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, he says this, as I have given order to, notice this plural, churches of Galatia, even so do ye, the church at Corinth. And so here, and they were instructed to give, and he gave a little bit of a specific instruction. He says, upon the first day of the week, being the Lord's day, resurrection, or the day that we honor the resurrection, the worship day, we don't honor the Sabbath, but we honor the first day of the week. So upon the first day of the week, we find, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your, notice the word, liberality unto Jerusalem. So they were taking offerings in the churches, and they were taking them to Jerusalem from the churches of Galatia. And there was needs there in the work and the ministry. And so he addresses this here in the opportunity to give. He said in verse 4, if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me from these churches in Galatia into Jerusalem. So the financial need was there in the city of Jerusalem, reaching out to the poor saints there. You know, it's always interesting that There's always needs. I don't think most people realize the financial needs in the work of the Lord, both with missionaries, with you know, just to keep the operation going of what you're meeting in. But then also too, it seems like nearly every week as a pastor, I get contacted by somebody in the church or in the community that has a financial need and so there's always something going on. Usually in the lives of people. And evidently in Galatia, the churches, and he was encouraging them the same thing. He said, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia. So Paul, being the apostle, was teaching on stewardship, but encouraging them to be faithful. And you would think, you know, and I found out, it's really a lot easier for a Christian, for a believer. Because I know a lot of people will struggle with this thing on tithing, but as soon as they get saved, as soon as you get saved and come to know the Lord, if you'll begin to learn the principles and the value of tithing, God put in place right here the equality of giving, so it makes no difference. God always requires 10%, and 10%. So if you make a dollar, you give a dime. If you make $10,000, you give $1,000. If you make $100,000, you give what would that be? 10,000. I've got to be careful. I don't box myself in a corner figuring out the math on this. So it really, you know, in that, and I've had people down through the years that have struggled with this thing of tithing and giving. And you know what? I think the problem is not tithing. I think the problem becomes more of not being taught the right thing to do on finances and the principle of finance and stewardship. When it comes right down to it, that becomes the real issue. And I had a man in my life that I learned a lot from him. His name was Larry Reed. Larry was on our deacon board out in South Dakota. And Larry grew up in Iowa. And Larry was a supervisor at the Morrell Meatpacking Plant there. One of our deacons, Faithful, he and his wife Irene, they had four children, had three girls and a boy. And I used to do some hunting with Larry, and we'd go hunting. So he and I'd have a chance to sit in the woods and talk about a lot of things. And I remember early in my Christian life, I was a 25-year-old pastor, pastor in a church running about 330, 350 people, and Larry being one of our deacons, and Larry and I sat, and we'd talk about all kinds of different things, but one of the things was on stewardship, was on giving, and so Larry, we're sitting in a deer blind one day, and Larry said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, he said, I really don't talk to anybody about this. He said, but Irene and I learned early on in our marriage to give and to make sure stewardship was a part of our life and to tithe off of our income that God had prospered us with. And he said, and I've always done that. And he said, and I had a principle, a financial principle, that he said, I never have taken on any debt ever in our married life. And I said, well, Larry, I said, then you just aroused in my curiosity a lot of questions, because I said, you're about 48 years old, you're married, you have a nice three-bedroom ranch home, you have a truck and a car, and you're a supervisor at Morrell Meat. So I said, how did you do that? He said, well, I started out when Irene and I got married down in Iowa. He said, I started out, he said, I found a little one-bedroom house that Irene and I had bought, and I paid $5,000 for it. He said, and I just learned how to fix it up. He said, I fixed it up, and we sold that, and then we upped to a little two-bedroom house and paid cash for that. And he said, then I just kind of worked away, and then the kids started showing up, and he said, I got an old clunker car, paid cash for that, and kept working my way up, and he said, did the same thing. So he said, now the home that you see that we're in now, all paid for. The vehicles are all paid for. He said, we tithe off of our incomes, and God has prospered and blessed. And so Larry was one of those men early on and I never thought, you don't meet very many people in life that have a debt-free philosophy or principles. And when you look at it today, there's a thriving ministry under the name of Dave Ramsey today on financial peace, only because many people, don't have this thing on financial principles figured out in the Bible. And the Bible talks about money and giving. And Larry was one of those men that that taught on the importance of giving. And so the Bible instructs us here, same way. The same principle that applied to the churches in Galatia is the same principle that applies in Corinth. and the same principles that applies here in Canton and every church and with the missionaries and Christianity around the world. And so God has put in place a principle that upon the first day of the week as we come together, let him lay by in store as God hath prospered him. So you take, and so there's a principle there that there be no gatherings when I come. You know, I hear somebody say, you know, well, I can't afford to tithe. You got to look at it the other way, the principle. Now, you can't really afford not to tithe. And not only that, it really is true. You cannot outgive God. And if you put him first and honor him first, and that's really what tithing is not about money. Tithing is giving becomes a matter of the heart. It becomes a matter of it's a spiritual part and a spiritual decision in the life of the believer. So here Paul's reminding the churches at Galatia. They're going to take an offering and take it to Jerusalem. And he's reminding all the churches here in Galatia. He said, I have given order to these churches, being the lead missionary and having an influence over the church of Galatia, that they do so. And then he says, when I come, that whosoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to you, to your liberality unto Jerusalem. And so when you look at it, I thank God we have people in this church that learned a long time ago the principles of finance, the principles of tithing and giving, and that. But you know, it's interesting, and that I would say is still one of the things, one of the Bible doctrines that so many, especially young Christians, will struggle with, and many will struggle with along the way. And then I look at it, we spend some time in Corinthians, and every once in a while you come along. And God has given the gift of giving to certain people in the work in the body of Christ. Now, it's been interesting for me to kind of follow that and the gifts that people are gifted with along the way. And I've had people down through the years that have said, Pastor, don't ask me to teach a class. Don't ask me to pray in public. Don't ask me to do this. But if you need any money, let me know, he said. And I've had people in South Dakota that way. I've had people here in Michigan that way. And that's feel like they have the gift of giving, and God has blessed them in the abundance of giving, and you really cannot outgive the Lord. And that. So here they were taking these offerings to take to Jerusalem. So you got the collection for the saints. Now, beginning in verse 5, interesting in verse 5. Verse 5 here in this text, really down through verse 18, deals with standing fast in the faith, being firm in the faith. Don't waver. And look what he says in verse 5. He said, now I will come unto you, he says, when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. On his journey, he's coming from the churches in Galatia, eventually taking these churches, encouraging the church of Galatia to receive the offering to take it to Jerusalem. And so Paul, that's really what Paul's ministry was. He'd travel from area to area preaching the gospel, preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. People would get saved. They would pull those believers together and form a local New Testament church. And all throughout Galatia, they had these churches. But here in Corinth, the same way. So he says that I may winter with you there. Notice he says in verse 7, here's a good principle for you in verse 7. He said, I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. I underlined that in my Bible, circled it, and put an asterisk beside it, if the Lord permit, because I think it's a good way to look at things in life. You know, you have an idea, you have a plan, you have a way that you think you're going to do something or you're going to move forward, and then things will happen. If the Lord wills, if the Lord permits, I'm going to do this and this, or if the Lord permits. And some people really get, it really upsets their apple cart if, you know, God, I got a plan, I got to work that plan. It seems like many, many times the Lord will intervene and might change your plans in the middle of something. So that's exactly what he says here. I think Paul learned that lesson, and that if the Lord permit, I'll do this and this and this. And sometimes God changes our plans. But he said, I will tarry at Ephesus. Remember that? I said he wrote from Ephesus to the church at Corinth until Pentecost. And that's the observance of the Passover. And then he said here, for a great door, a great door, a great opportunity, an effectual, is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. An interesting verse, is it not, in verse 9? that along with the opportunity, also we know that Satan is very much at work in trying to hinder the opportunity. So yeah, there's many opportunities to preach the gospel. Yes, at Ephesus, great things were being done. And yes, he's trying to help this young church at Corinth. And why Corinth? Is because Corinth allowed or let in a lot of worldlyism or worldly philosophies in that and things that they fought and along the way. But he said here, a great door is open unto me, Paul said. And he knew this, that along the way, there's many adversaries. Many people is going to fight against the gospel. Obviously, Satan's going to fight against the gospel. So keep in mind that when you and I serve every day Satan would love to derail you. Every day Satan would love to defeat you. And if Satan doesn't try to do it, then we fight the flesh and the body that we struggle with, the natural man, against the spiritual man in life. And so here Paul realized that. You got to look for the opportunities. And a great door was opened unto Paul. And he took advantage of those opportunities. But when you take advantage of those opportunities along the way, there's also a lot of adversaries along the way. There are people that do not want the gospel to be spread. There are people that want to hinder the work of the church. There are people that want to hinder, and Satan especially, the work of Christ and that. And so, but Paul saw this as a great opportunity and effectual is open unto him. Now, I love what he has here beginning in verse 10. Because he's talking about standing fast, standing firm in the faith. And the name comes up of Timotheus, which is Timothy. Now, if Timothy, come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Boy, thank God for the Timothys of the world. You know, I think of the Timothys of the world, along the way. And you say, well, what do you mean by Timothys of the world? Timothy was a protege, or under Paul's leadership, was trained in the ministry, went here and there, was a true servant of the Lord, and carrying on the work of the Lord. When Paul moved on, many times Timothy would stay behind and doing the work of the Lord. I think probably down through the years and all the years, you know, I think I've been in the ministry since 1974, and I'll never forget God brought to us an associate pastor by the name of Phil Spencer. I know y'all don't know Phil Spencer. Well, you guys probably know Phil Spencer. Do you know Phil and Yvette? Okay. And one day my phone rang, and it was Phil on the other end. He said, hey, he said, I understand that your church there is hiring school teachers for the Christian school. And he says, is there any chance that we could interview for that, me and Yvette? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So I'd already hired Alan and Meg Leak. I don't know if you knew the Leaks or not. Do you know Alan and Meg? Okay. Already hired Alan and Meg and brought them on staff. We had about, 10 Christian school teachers in the school. So we sit down with Phil and Yvette, and I really look at Phil and Yvette that God brought them to us. And great school teacher, end up being the principal of the school. We had about 110 students in the school, and Phil was one of those guys that just had a servant's heart. Now, I don't know how Paul felt about Timothy. I mean, you read about it a little bit right here, but I've often thought of Phil as, boy, if you ever had a Timothy in the ministry, Phil Spencer would have been one of those guys. He is a jewel of jewels. And I remember when I came from South Dakota back to Michigan, I told the men of the church, I said, you know, you guys got three good men here that any one of the three could be pastor of the church. So it's up to you as a congregation to select who you want. And Ron Zort, was out of our church, and Ron grew up in Sioux Falls, went to Springfield, the Baptist Bible College, graduated, and come back home to Sioux Falls, and was coming back to the home church. Elmer Hulso was one of our deacons, and Elmer had gone to Bible college while he was working for AT&T, and got a bachelor's degree, and was serving there in the church and teaching and doing some other things. And then we hired Phil in the school. So long story short, the church then selected Phil and called him as their pastor. Phil just recently left Sioux Falls and went down to El Paso, Texas, His daughter married a young man that graduated from Heartland Baptist Bible College and is pastor in church in El Paso, Texas. And so Phil and Yvette went down there to be with their family, and he went back to be an associate pastor to work with the senior citizen ministry there in El Paso. Now, you find that many guys that after you've been a senior pastor are not willing to go back and to be an associate pastor or youth pastor or whatever. Not Phil. Phil had a servant's heart no matter. He was one of the most humble, gracious. No matter what I ask him to do, no matter where we're at, day or night, if something happened, Phil was, I'll be right there. And he was Johnny on the spot. Great Bible teacher and just a great school principal, great teacher. The kids all loved him. The teenagers all loved him. But he was just one of those jewels that God puts on the path. I think Timothy was that way to Paul. And so Paul's saying here about Timothy, come see that he may be without you without fear, and for he worketh the work of the Lord. Timothy was one of the guys that had at heart the work of the Lord and carrying that out. He said, therefore, a little bit of instruction here about Timothy. Let no man therefore despise him, despise Timothy, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. What an encouragement that Timothy was to Paul. Think about all that Paul goes through and the responsibility that was on his shoulders of going and preaching from city to city and starting churches and many times under persecution and many times paying a huge price for what he stood for. So Timothy became a real encouragement to Paul, and we need that in the ministry. And so I made a little footnote in my verse, in verse 11, Paul's favorite. You know, you're not supposed to have favorites, you know, sons or daughters or whatever, or people in the ministry. Well, I think Timothy was Paul's favorite. But he also goes on then, he said, as touching our brother, there's others here, he mentions Apollos. He said, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have a convenient time. In other words, maybe it just didn't work out or whatever for him to come. But, you know, Paul could not have done what Paul did without the Timothys, without the Apollos, without all the others in the work of the Lord. And so now the instructions about standing fast. Look what he says in verse 13. And there's four simple things in verse 14. Watch ye. That's number one. Number two, stand fast in the faith. Number three, quit you like men. And number four, be strong. Four great commands here in the Scripture. Let's take the first one, watch ye. You remember back what he said earlier in verse 9? There are many adversaries, so watch and be prepared. And so what is he telling them here? He's telling them to be spiritually alert, be alive, be ready, be aware of what's going on around you. And there are many adversaries around you that want to trip you up. Satan would love to hinder the work of the Lord. So watch, number one. And likewise, you and I should do the same thing. Watch, be careful. Guard yourself and protect yourself. Make sure you protect your mind, your heart. Before the Lord. So watch ye, because there are many adversaries out there that want to hinder what it is that you're doing and how you're living. Secondly, stand fast in the faith. Is after you've been saved, is stand firm. Don't budge, don't give, don't give up, don't give in, and that. You know, it's always interesting and to watch, you know, to watch especially new converts get saved and come in. And, you know, what I always interested to see is where they're going to be 1 year from now, where they're going to be 2 years from now, where they're going to be 3 years from now. And I would like to say to you that they all remain faithful, but sometimes things will happen and they won't stand firm. The least little trial comes along, or the least little hiccup that comes along, or the least little thing that comes along can derail them. You got to develop an attitude, I will not quit attitude, a firmness, and stand fast. Paul said it this way to the church there at Corinth, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in your Christian faith. No matter what, you're not going to give in, you're not going to give up, and stand firm. And then he says here, quit you like men. I find that an interesting phrase, is it not? Quit you like men. Because Paul was dealing within the church Remember that? He told him, he said, you know, he wanted to treat them as mature, spiritual, godly people and that, but sometimes there are babes in Christ. And people are content to remain a babe in Christ and not grow to spiritual maturity. The men need to grow to spiritual maturity, and they need to grow and standing firm and knowing how to handle the adversaries and know how to remain spiritually solid. And so he says here, you know, there becomes a point where you got to move out of being young and wiser in what you do, and as you age and go along, especially in the Christian life, to spiritual maturity. So quit you like men, be solid in your faith. And then lastly, there the fourth thing is, be strong. And that, so how do you be strong? You know, it's interesting. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more Word of God that we get into our life, the more we read the Bible, the more we use the Bible, the more it's sharper than a two-edged sword. The way you become strong is you allow the Word of God to saturate your heart, your mind, and you remain firm unto the Lord, and you know what the Bible says. You remain strong and dedicated through the thing. So whatever you do, and then he ties this into verse 14, let all your things be done with charity. That word charity means love. So whatever you do in the work of the Lord, and especially the church at Corinth, because he deals with a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 on love. We can agree to disagree, and you may not agree with me, and I may not agree with you, but that don't mean that people got to hate each other. That just simply means we agree to disagree. We still need to love each other. In a family, you're always not going to agree with everything along the way. And you got to realize the diversity along the way. As think about how God brings people together in a family, or brings together in a body of believers. And so the glue that holds it all together is love. The glue that holds it all together is charity. Love one for another. So when you look at it here, he says, and then in verse 15, I beseech you. That's a strong word, I beseech you, brethren. You know the house of Stephanas? Now he goes into another Bible character. That it is the first fruits of Achaia. Notice this now. And they have addicted, interesting word, isn't it? They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Interesting word when you get addicted to the ministry of the saints. There are some that, you know, what do they say? Kind of the old rule of thumb is about 20% of the congregation does about 80% of the work. I guarantee you, if I ask for volunteers or helpers or whatever, it'd probably be some of the most faithful people in the church that'll step up and say, hey, you know, I'll help with that or whatever. But many people in Christianity are part of that 80%. They're just content to come in, take in a worship service, and leave, and don't commit to doing anything along the way. There are some that will addict themselves to the work of the ministry. And so he addresses that here. And I really appreciate that. From time to time, I know who I can call on. And somebody will say, hey, Pastor, if you need help, give me a call. And that you gotta pick and choose what you can do. But here we find Stephanas here is the first fruits of Achaia, and they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saint. Paul could not have done what Paul did without the faithfulness and dedication of some great people. And that is so, so important. The work of the Lord is so important as a team to realize it takes all of us collectively together doing the work of the Lord. And therefore, he uses that word in verse 16, submitting yourselves. As you do that, you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. So we submit ourselves one to another. We never should any one of us, I don't care where we serve, as a pastor, as a deacon, as a teacher, as a whatever position we serve in the work of the Lord, we need everybody in the work of the Lord. And every person is important at what we're doing. And we never look down our nose at somebody else. Everyone is important and in the work of the Lord. And so we find here, by doing so, we submit ourselves one to another, and to everyone that helpeth with us. Again, Paul could not do what he did at Galatia. Paul could not do what he did at Corinth. Paul could not do what he did throughout Asia Minor, the churches, without many, many people helping him. And so he begins to recognize some of these, Timothy and Apollos and Stephanus and that. Now he goes on, notice he mentions a few more. Verse 17, I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and was it Fortunatus, and then Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Interesting, isn't it? Because now he begins to mention names of servants that because some lacked on a certain area, others have stepped up and did what had to be done. So thank God for those servants that are willing to step in. He said there, and as he gives these names, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied it. They have stepped in and filled the gap. And notice, I love in verse 18, look at this, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Well, I'll tell you what, I could go right around our congregation, and time after time after time, I could name individual after individual that would say, I could simply say, they have refreshed my spirit. They've been a blessing to be able to watch them serve, to be able to watch them give, to be able to watch them have a heart of love, to be able to watch them give themselves unto the Lord. And so Paul felt very strongly about that, that it's good to have true, loyal, faithful servants of the Lord that serve in a spirit of love and unity and harmony together, that works for the body of Christ, trying to pull together, and they have refreshed his spirit. And, you know, the flip side of that is those that do not refresh your spirit, those that do not bring unity or harmony, or those that try to bring division among the body. And Paul also addresses that. So, standing fast in the faith, I took it from verse 5 all the way down to this verse 18. Stand fast, stand firm. So you got the collection of the saints in verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. You got standing firm and fast in the faith. You know, I always struggle with, what are people going to say? Well, God, you know, I got saved and I went to church for a while and served the Lord for a while, and then I got derailed for whatever reason. What are you going to say at the judgment seat of Christ? You know, at the judgment seat of Christ, we come to bring and lay our rewards down at his feet, and for him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we need to stand firm and stand faithful in the Lord's work. He wraps this all up in verse 19 to verse 24, and he kind of really gives salutations. You know, did you ever write a letter? You know, it's interesting. Anytime somebody gives me a card in the church, I keep every one of them. I don't throw any of them away. If you've ever given me a card for anything for years, I still have it. My wife will write me little notes. Now, I'll be honest with you, little love notes, and it's none of your business what she puts in it. She'll put a little notes on there, and you know, I keep those. If your spouse writes you a little note in her handwriting or his handwriting, that's a precious thing, man. You keep that. You don't throw that away. I could take you to drawers at my house, I pulled this drawer. As a matter of fact, I pulled one drawer open the other day, pulled the bottom of it out, and I looked and I thought, oh, cool. And there's a note that my wife had written years ago, and I pulled it out and I reread it. Hang on to those love notes or those things, or no matter what it is. It may just be something as simple as, hey, I'm praying for you today. Have a great day. I don't throw that stuff away. I keep all that. So any cards, you know, along the way, and those are good. Matter of fact, I got myself, the girls, Tammy and Rosalind, and them probably think, man, he go in his office, he's got this stacked and that stacked. You know, I used to be a neat freak, and everything had to be in place, and I used to toss everything out and never kept anything. And then my wife was the opposite. She's the hoarder and hoards everything up. So somehow we met in the middle. I'm not the neat freak I used to be, and she's not the hoarder that she used to be. So somewhere we tried to meet in the middle of a 51-year marriage of working together in that. So I keep all my notes, hang on to those things. I don't know what my kids will do. They'll probably have a bonfire with them when I go. So, You know, I don't know, but they're precious and sweet, and hang on to them. Every once in a while, you know, I'll come across one and I'll get it out and read it, and it has a lot of meaning in it. So here he says in verse 19, Paul delivers his salutation. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla, notice that, I salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So not all churches had buildings. They had house churches back at that time. And so here he says, the churches of Asia, the church of Asia Minor salute you. Aquila and Priscilla, they had a house in their church. And then he says in verse 20, all the brethren greet you throughout Galatia. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. Now there's still, I know, parts of the world today where if you meet somebody, you might do a holy kiss on the cheek or whatever. And that they really don't practice that here in America. Anyway, they evidently did greet you and one another with a holy kiss, the salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. So he has written this letter from Ephesus to these believers in Corinth. And then notice what he says. If any man love, verse 22, love not the Lord Jesus. Well, now this is an interesting comment. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be, and he gives us two words, anathema. And then he says, Maranatha. Now, let me give you the definition of what these two words mean. Anathema means someone who is disliked. So he's saying here, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, let him be anathema. Let him be, you know, disliked. And then he says, Maranatha. That word Maranatha means come quickly, Lord Jesus, or come, Lord Jesus. And Mrs. Odom, every once in a while I'll make reference to Dr. Earl K. Odom, who's the president of the Bible College when I was there. His wife, Mrs. Odom, every time she would sign off on a letter or when you would see her or something, she would always end her sayings. Was you ever around her, Mrs. O? A little bit. She would always say, Maranatha. I went to their church for 4 years over in Grand Prairie, Texas. And Mrs. O would always say, Maranatha, until the Lord comes. And so it's a great way. So here Paul's signing off on anathema, Maranatha. He's just simply saying those that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who is disliked in that. And then he says, Maranatha, O Lord, come. And the grace then of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And then he says, I love this in verse 24, my love. Remember that, what he said back in verse 14? Let all your things be done with charity. Paul loved these churches. Paul loved these believers. Paul loved these Christians. Paul loved those at Corinth. He said here, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. What a rich, rich chapter. So really three key thoughts here. The collection for the saints, that for all the churches of Galatia, they're going to take this offering. And upon the first day of the week, he teaches a tithing principle. And we're going to gather up the offerings of the church of Galatia, take it to Jerusalem. Secondly, then he spends most of the time in the chapter dealing with standing firm, standing fast, standing steadfast in the faith. Don't waver. And then he gives us these salutations as he closes out the chapter. So church work has not changed. Humanity has not changed. It's still the same. Churches are to be bonded together in a bond of love. Still, the giving is to be done the same way. On the first day of the week, we gather together, we worship the Lord, we give our tithes and our offerings. That is what carries on the work and the support of the ministry, and that allows us to be able to reach out to this week. Our missionary family of the week is Stetson Plank, missionary to Italy. He and his wife and children were just here this last year, and they're now in Italy serving there. So by us gathering together, worshiping the Lord in a spirit of love and that, and by us giving to Faith Promise Missions, we're able to support a missionary there in Italy. You know, you and I can't go to Italy. Well, you could. You can go to Italy and preach and that, but he's willing to go and to serve and establish churches there in Italy. So if you decide to travel, we got missionaries around the world that they'd love nothing better than for you to come by and say hi and have a meal with them. And that's all Paul's saying here. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the illustrations given here by the Apostle Paul. Thank you for his love for these churches throughout Galatia and writing from Ephesus to Corinth and giving instructions how they were to give and tithe and give of their offerings and to give out of a generous and their liberality under the needs there of the saints, the poor saints there in Jerusalem. And so, God, we see that giving is a part of our Christian life, and we give out of a heart of love because we love you and want to be faithful to the work that you've laid in front of us. And so, God, we thank you for Paul and the importance of standing firm and standing faithful. God, may we be found faithful serving you when the Lord Jesus returns and comes back. And so, God, may we be thankful for all that you do. Thank for the love between God's people that allows us to do what we do together in the bonds of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.